I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. We are back to talk about unveilings. You know what? I think I found something in Vegas that you'd really like yesterday.
What?
Okay, this was random. So it's World Series of Poker, and I was supposed to meet my poker coach for dinner, and he was going to take me to go see like World Series.
Stop. Back up. Poker coach.
Yeah, I have a poker coach.
What is that? So somebody's teaching you to play poker?
Yeah, and be really good at it. He's like a world champion.
And for what? Because you want to start gambling or?
Not really gambling. I just want to like play in tournaments, but I don't want to do it unless I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm super excited to learn a new game. I think about it like I think about doing game night at the mansion and how Hef knew every Monopoly trick.
Yeah.
And like I feel like nobody could beat me at Monopoly now, even though I haven't played in a million years. Like I know every like backdoor secret. So that's what I'm trying to do, but with poker.
Okay.
Also works on me with like, if you believe in this shit, and I know you do, like mind reading and like reading people.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's cool. Really fun. Anyway, so poker coach was taking me to World Series of Poker just to like show me around.
How long have you been doing this?
I just started.
I'm like, I'm fascinated.
I just started. Okay. Not ready for a tournament yet. But so he took me to World Series of Poker. But the one thing before I get to the thing I think you'll like that I wanted to mention that's so cool in there is you constantly just hear, because there's so many people in there playing and everybody's quiet, you just hear the sound of chips. And it's like the best ASMR sound you'll ever hear. It reminds me of like in Vegas, we have cicadas in the tree, like right now, like during the summer. Mm-hmm. And you hear like kind of this buzzing. And that's mm-hmm. what it reminds me of. It's such a cool sound.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess they still play with chips at the tables probably, mm-hmm. right? Because at the actual slot machines, there's no more coins and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a fun sound too, but they do have that at Circus Circus. There's a side area called Slots of Fun, and it's still the coin slot machine, so you can hear all that really fun sound.
I remember way back in the day when I used to go to Vegas that you would play with actual real money, and when you won, even if you didn't win that much, like all these coins would come out and you had like a special plastic bucket
yeah.
that you would carry around and you would catch all your coins and then you'd walk around with these plastic buckets.
You know what I don't want to do is a cashless society. Like I love cash. I love having cash. I love tipping in cash.
I don't mind not having it only because I feel like I often get caught off guard. Like I forget or I didn't know that I have valet parking and I don't have any like smaller bills. And then you'd feel like a real asshole being like, oh, can you break this for
me? Yeah, like don't get me wrong. I love the convenience of having the other stuff as well, but I still want to do cash also. Yeah. Like yeah. I want both.
Yeah. I don't think they can ever really get away with it, right?
Like they're trying.
They are
the
trying.
Deep state. But they want to take away all our power and you can't have any cash in your mattress anymore.
But people say it's really not fair to everybody because not everyone has credit and a way to do things
electronically. It's totally not fair. Yeah, like I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad they did the no tax on tips because I think about that all the time. I'm like, mm-hmm. now that people aren't tipping cash as much, you can't lie and say you didn't get a tip.
Well,
I think about these things.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
So anyway, but circle back to what I think you would like.
Yes.
So my poker coach told me to meet him at Binion's Steakhouse. And I live near downtown. So in my mind, there's an old casino called Binion's, like on Fremont Street downtown. And there's a steakhouse that I've never eaten at that's like at the top of Binion's. And I keep meaning to go there. And I don't even think I've been in this casino more than once. Like when I first moved to Vegas and was exploring everything, I think I went in and out of there because they have this display where it's like $1 million of cash and you can go take a picture with it. Like I think I went in to see that and then just never spent any time there. But I thought that's where I was meeting him, even though that makes no sense because that's not where the World Series of Poker is, but whatever. So I get dropped off there and I go in this entrance. And it's the Apache Hotel entrance, but it's like part of Binion's. It's like all together. And it's the weirdest, most old, but in a good way, creepy, like liminal space. There was nobody there. And I was like, And I just felt it. I'm like, this is so haunted right here.
Ooh.
Like, this is so haunted. So I think you'd really love it. And then I was walking around lost in the casino forever. And like, the ceilings are so low, which makes you feel like it's extra haunted. And this like SWAT team security guard was like, you look lost. I'm like, I'm trying to find the steakhouse. So he showed me how to get there. And the steakhouse, like, I need to go back because it looks super cute. It's like very Old West style. Like, kind of like Old West whorehouse. I don't know if that's what they're going for, but that's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, like all the plush red velvets and stuff like that. So yeah, I thought it was cool. But anyway, I found out that they redid Bally's and it's called the Horseshoe now. And I guess they call the steakhouse in that is also called Binion's. And I was unaware. So that's where he was. So I had to go like,
oh no,
I went to the totally the wrong place, but I'm glad I went on the detour because that spot is so cool.
Yeah.
Like I need to go back.
I've heard about that steakhouse. I had some friends that like had reservations there and were super excited. And they were like, it's supposed to be really cool. And I think there's like a, is it at the top? Is there a nice view from there too?
Yeah, yeah. It's at the very top.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not been there, but I've heard good things. But now with it haunted, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really cool. So this episode, we're talking about like, what is it? Like Kendra's mom's doing her reveal, right? And she's kind of getting back out on the market.
Yeah. And there's a lot of talk of dating. She goes on my radio show to do like play the dating game type thing. And it's really interesting to see how Kendra is kind of taking that because Kendra's very protective and also kind of anti, but yet into it at the same time. It's like very walking this weird thing. And it got me thinking like how hard that must be as a single mom to like try and date and also like what your kids think and taking that into consideration or not. Like how do people walk that line?
I don't know. Cause when she says there's a scene where she's getting her makeup done and they ask, how long has it been since you've been on date? And she goes, I don't want to talk about it. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And like, I get it. Cause like when you have kids, you know, they take center stage and you don't necessarily want to bring all these dudes around.
Right. But then you want your kids to like whoever, if you find your forever person, you want your kids to like that person. And in order for you to know if they're going to like that person, they have to all be together and meet and do stuff. And I just feel like it's such a tricky balance. Like, when do you know, like, okay, time to meet the kids or it's not time to meet the kids? Like, how?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. When I was talking online about my last relationship that I just ended, I was talking about how I didn't introduce him to my kids. And part of the reason was because me and my ex-husband went to counseling right before we got divorced. And the counselor was like, you shouldn't ever introduce somebody to your kids unless they're engaged, because kids always take it personally. Like if a significant other comes into their life and then they leave, like kids always think everything is about them. So it's just not healthy. So I was saying in this thing that like, I wouldn't introduce my kids to anybody unless I was engaged, which, and then people in the comments were like, but then what if your kids don't like the guy? Then you break the engagement.
Really?
Well, you're not going to marry a guy. Well, okay, here's the thing. I'm not going to say if your kids don't like them, because there's always going to be kids that like always want their parents back together and like maybe just don't like the person. But like if you from a parent's eyes are seeing there's issues, then you break the engagement.
Yeah, if there's issues. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of kids are just not going to like whoever the parent is dating because it's taking away time from their parent, or it's just a new person, or it's not their dad or whatever. So there's a lot of like personal reasons that might not have anything to do with the actual person himself. Like he might be the greatest person and be the best stepdad if he was given the opportunity. But kids just are like, I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. So I guess I don't mean like if the kids don't like them. I guess if once you see them interact, you start to see red flags or like, oh, this maybe isn't like my person.
Yeah. So it's wait until, according to your therapist, it was wait until you're engaged.
Yeah.
I just seem so far along to do that and then be like, oh, wait, there's one more thing though.
Yeah, it does. But if that's your right person, they won't care, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to be like an actual man, because I think the guy I was dating is not an actual man.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds rough, but like, he's the worst avoidant. And if that's his path, that's fine. But like, that's not a real man in my eyes. Like I've seen, you know, like my ex-husband might not have been the right person for me to end up with, but he's an amazing dad. You know what I mean? Like I know what like a real man can be. And he was not that.
Yeah. It's just, there's so many facets to it. I remember like when I was younger and it was just a small time period, but by the time when my mom and dad got divorced and before my mom met my stepdad, there were a few guys that I remember her mm-hmm. dating. And I remember going on some of the dates with them, like mm-hmm. Golden Corral one yeah. night or whatever, you know, because it was just silly things like that. Uh-huh. And she's a mom with kids. And yeah. if you're going to date her, like she had, like sometimes we had to go too. There wasn't somebody just to watch us, you know, mm-hmm. my dad wasn't in the picture. So I remember that. And I will say I did not take it personally if like it didn't work out or whatever, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean all kids don't, yeah. you know, but it is an interesting and a tricky thing to do. I wonder, can you like say, well, this is just my friend and kind of see how things are going and not be romantic or holding hands or anything in front of each other and just act platonic and see how your kids like that person?
I mean, you could probably do that. I never did it just because like the way things work, like,
yeah.
But there were times too when we would be on the phone when I was with the kids and I would just say that was my friend. And like there was a period of time where like, Forrest was little and he was really into pirates. So like Zach would like put on a pirate voice and like say he was a pirate. And like that was a whole like thing. So that was kind of how I presented it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I think obviously like if you don't have another parent in the mix who's taking the kids, that is going to be harder. And you're not going to have that luxury of being like, oh, well, here's 50% of my time when I can see you. And then I'm just not going to you the other 50% of the time. Like, I'm sure, you know, with Patty, even though not that I know what her situation was, but even though like her parents were nearby, I bet she didn't have a lot of time that she could carve out and be like, oh, this is going to be my time to go date. Like,
yeah,
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I think it's a hard thing to navigate when your kids are young, but it obviously doesn't get much easier when they're older and an adult and out of the house, because look at how critical, you know, Kendra still is on her dating and what she's wearing mm-hmm. and like who would be good enough and who she can't date and stuff. So like you're dealing with a whole different set of.
Yeah, it's different, but I feel like that's a little more like good natured and your kid is an adult and, you know, let's see where it goes from there. I think it's so different when you're dealing with like little kids.
Yeah.
Because they just see the world so differently. And then, you know, if that person was to come into your life and they're going to be part of like their structure,
mm-hmm.
that's so weird. But yeah, I don't really think about it too much moving forward just because I'm not really a dater. Like I'm either in a long-term relationship or I'm not. Like I'm not one of those people who thinks it's like having fun to be like seeing a bunch of guys. Like if you have fun doing that, amazing. Like in some ways, like I kind of wish I could have like a roster and just like not be too attached to one person, but that's just not how I am. It's either like a relationship or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about really like when I go out, when I'm not with my kids, I'm out with my friends. So
yeah, I'm kind of smirking because I remember when we were leaving the mansion, I thought I'm going to date. I'm going to have so much fun. And I was instantly in a like relationship. Yeah. I think that I dated one other person for like mm-hmm. a second. And then I was instantly in a relationship that I'm still in today.
Yeah. But I don't know if you're missing out because personally, like, I don't think it's fun to date around. Nothing. Like when people say I'm just having fun, that sounds like a misnomer to me. And maybe it's fun for other people, but to me, it's not fun. Like, fuck that. That sounds like a nightmare.
No, I don't have any regrets or anything like that. But I just remember that was my mentality when I was coming out. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't dated. I haven't been with anybody mm-hmm. in so long. Like, I'm totally going to date and have fun right now.
Play the field.
Yeah. And boom.
Yeah. Well, I think that's for the best, honestly.
I
think so too. Yeah.
I don't regret it. I'm not saying I regret it or anything. I just am saying it's funny because that was my mentality.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I was going to do. And I thought it was going to be fun at that time. But yeah, I'm glad. And I hear so much about the dating scene out there and like from guys and girls and how crazy it is and stuff. And I just don't envy that at all. Like, and there's never been a story where I'm like, oh, well, that kind of sounds like fun, or oh, I'd want to do that. I'm always like, ew.
Especially in the dating app era, which I'm not involved in. I would never be on a dating app, but like I know from being cheated on by a guy, which I still can't wrap my mind around. Like, I just feel like, because this guy was like on TV, like people knew who he was, like have some fucking pride. Like you're on a dating app as yourself, verified, linked to your Instagram, cheating on your girlfriend, just thinking that all these girls are going to see it, but like nobody's really going to see it. Like not to the point where they'd tell me or like, Next guy I'm with, my one guy, is never going to even have heard of being on a dating app.
Good luck with that one.
No, it's true. I'm going a little bit older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We do this little bit of a dating show thing with Patty on my radio show, but I was thinking, you know, we could have done that even in still a fun way, but in a little more serious way too, and probably even found somebody that we could have flown out to meet her and attend the party and just kind of see how things go.
You know, right.
I feel like we could have like pushed that a little bit more.
Yeah, or even like gone with a matchmaker.
Yeah, that would have been cool too. And it would have been fun to have that as the story at the Midsummer's party versus a stripper.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that would have been really interesting if they would have. I wonder if they ever did that, like with any of Kendra's spinoffs or anything.
I don't know.
Or if she did settle down with somebody or like what happened.
I don't know.
I'm unaware. I'm sure somebody in the comments will inform us.
But. Yeah.
And I don't want anybody in any comments telling me what type of person I should date. That's my pet peeve. I think I've talked about that before. I don't remember if it was a slumber party or what about. It was like the first time I broke up with Zach like a year ago. I hate even admitting I'm single because for some reason it grates on my nerves so much when people are like, you should date this type of guy. Like I hate it when people tell me to date a normie, which I guess means a non-famous person because it's like, you don't think I have and you don't think they can be just as bad.
Yeah.
Like give me a fucking break. Although I will say, the one thing I've seen people say that I agree with and I'm not going to ever do is I'm never going to date a fucking edgelord again.
A what?
Edgelord. Like if you look like you've ever shopped at Hot Topic in your life, I'm not dating you.
I didn't know what an edgelord was.
Yeah. But last time I was talking about it, I was saying like, I don't want people telling me like what type of person I should date. It just irritates me. It's like fingernails on a blackboard. And when I was saying that, people in the comments are like, you know who you should date? And they'll list off like an actor.
Oh,
like
no.
I don't want to fucking date an actor. That's the last thing I'm going to date. Ugh.
I mean, I say just keep your mind open to whatever, because sometimes you might think that the person you shouldn't date and you can't like throw them all, you know.
Well, everybody's a human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can't. I mean, even if you think you have a type, like I have a few like baseline things that are like qualifiers, but they're very like kind of practical tent poles. It's not about like what somebody's image is or like.
Yeah.
What type of a person? I mean, type of a person, like I want a good person and yeah. I want a loyal person and I want like a real man,
mm-hmm.
but not like, except I'm not dating edgelords. That is cut out. That's no more edgelords. I'm over it. I'm completely turned off.
Yeah.
So should we get back to the episode or whatever we're going to talk about this week?
Yeah, let's get into the episode.
Here in LA, we have been having a heat wave. It's been way over 100 degrees, and it definitely doesn't make me feel like going shopping or planning or cooking dinner. But luckily, I got my Hungry Root order this week, and in there was one of the perfect summertime meals. Last night, I had salt and pepper chicken Caesar salad, and it was delicious, and it was light, and it was perfect for this hot summer night. Imagine having your weekly shopping cart filled for you and your meals for the week decided on. Taking all that work off my plate is why I love Hungry Root. They take all the stress out of planning for meals. They fill my cart with personalized picks, and you guys know how particular I am about these things. They plan a week of meals, and it just gets smarter with every order too. Like it learns my preferences. It has over 15,000 recipes to choose from each week. And a lot of them are ready in just under 15 minutes, which is great because I don't like to spend a lot of time cooking, especially in the summertime. Plus, if you have specific diet or health goals, Hungry Root has you covered. Whether you're gluten-free, dairy-free, high protein, focused on gut health, or anything else, there's a quiz that you take. And then their smart cart technology recommends the groceries, the recipes, the supplements. They're all tailored to your tastes or needs. But just so you know, I got pasta a la vodka with a garlic baguette, which you can't go wrong with that, and pork chops with roasted potatoes and lemony beans. Take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/nextlevel and use code NEXTLEVEL. That's hungryroot.com/nextlevel, code NEXTLEVEL, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. hungryroot.com/nextlevel, code NEXTLEVEL.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level Podcast. We're here to talk about unveilings.
Ooh.
I love your Midsummer's outfit.
Thank you.
Killing it.
I swear my boobs are bigger. How is that possible? They don't grow after a certain point, do they?
Oh, no. I think anything's possible.
That's so weird.
Your boobs are definitely, I can tell you as an outsider, your boobs are bigger.
Why would that be?
I don't, everybody's body is different.
They just like fluctuate?
I've heard people say that before. Like I've heard people say they've had implants and had implants taken out and then their boobs grew or something. I don't think that's common, but I've heard all kinds of stories.
Well, I will say that my boobs grew later in life. Like I didn't have them. Like I wasn't big chested in high school or anything like that. Like they came later.
The gift that keeps on giving.
And I feel like they just keep giving. Some people say their nose keeps growing. I think my boobs keep growing.
Yeah, why not? Blessed in the chest.
Well, blessed is one word for it.
So this episode first aired December 30th, 2007.
Ooh.
The top song was Irreplaceable by Beyoncé. And Juno was one of the top movies at the box office. So this episode really mirrors your sister's makeover episode from season one. It's a makeover. Granted, Patty's is more extreme.
Slightly.
And it is revealed at the Midsummer Night's Dream party.
Yes. And I think it was in the previous episode when she was getting the surgery that we were wondering, oh, wait, maybe, was it? No, never mind. It was when we were going over these notes we were wondering. We were wondering how old Patty would have been when she had that makeover.
Yeah, and we thought maybe early 40s.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and according to Google, whether it's true or not, she is 66 now. So she would have been 48.
Oh, okay.
Which is a little older than I thought she was at the time.
Yeah, for some reason, I pictured her being like a really young mom or something, but I guess I have no idea.
Yeah, I would
I guess that makes sense, though, because remember, she was like a professional cheerleader before.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, she would have had some early 20s years before kids.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe she was 43, 45, but she would have been 48, assuming Google is correct on her age.
I don't expect her to chime in.
No. No, I don't either. Well, she may chime in, but not in a
helpful way.
Not in a beneficial way.
Yeah. So the opening of this episode threw me for a loop. I know you like to talk a lot about how usually the show starts on the mansion, but this one, I was like, where are we?
I was like, wait,
is this the bunny house? Because it's just like a nondescript house. And I was like, where are we? But it's your trapeze segment.
Yes.
So take the lead on that. What got you into trapeze? Like, give us some backstory.
Well, I first got into it. I mean, I've always been attracted to the costumes and the swinging and the style of it and everything. Like, if I go to a circus, that's like my main attraction is the aerialist and everything. But Anna Marie, who would make all my costumes, and she does trapeze. And she would tell me about it. And I'd be like, oh my God, it's so incredible. It's so amazing. And then one day she mentioned, well, you should come and try it out. And it never occurred to me that just anybody could go. And this is way before, like there are places now where you can do it all over the place, but there was not that going on back in these days. And she was like, you could come and do it. And I thought, no way. So she was like, yeah, we do it right in Woodland Hills in their backyard, not her backyard, but the guy who does the training and stuff. And they're a circus family. Their family's been doing this for a really long time.
Question.
Yeah.
Are they the family where somebody plays Tinkerbell at Disneyland?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because my dream job that I never had, but I wish is I want to be the Tinkerbell that climbs to the top of the Matterhorn and gets on the zip line and starts the fireworks at the beginning of the night. That is my dream, dream, dream job. But I hear that you have to be really short to do it. And it's like there's this circus family that just has a lock on that job.
I don't know the answer, whether they've done that or not, but that sounds incredible. And I would want to do that just one time just to say I'd done it.
Yeah.
But I know that they've been doing circus stuff. Like it was generational, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I take with me Kendra and Stacy and Crystal. Do you know why you didn't come?
I was working, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I was super excited. I was also nervous.
I did go with you later, just not on this one.
Yeah. I think because I was telling you how much fun it was, yeah, and it was amazing and stuff, and you have to come. Did they film it when you came?
No. We just did it for fun.
Yeah, so I thought
it was super fun. But for me, the hardest part, like, I'm not afraid of doing it or anything, but the hardest part is that it is rough on your hands.
It is.
Like, you have to kind of build up a callus. Like, yes, it really, like, burns your hands.
It hurts your hands so bad. And then, yeah, that's what happens, though. Like, you will create a callus on your hands, and then it doesn't bother you so much anymore. And the same with the back of your knees. Ooh. When you're doing, like, so I was doing bungee trapeze for the most part, not necessarily flying, although this is flying today. You are hanging by your knees, and sometimes you're bouncing and then grabbing on with your knees to catch the trapeze bar. And the first time you make a cut in the back of your legs, like it cuts through the skin, because it'll be bruised and it'll be like working its way. But the first time you get a cut, it's like they get all excited, like your trainers and stuff. And like my trainers, by that time I was training with the Cirque du Soleil sisters and stuff. And they had to sign it and
that
everything.
That sounds cute, the Cirque du Soleil sisters.
Yeah, they were so cute.
Wait, they signed your cut?
Yeah, because they're like, this is like, what do you call it? Like when...
Losing your V card?
Kind of like that, but they had another thing to it, but it was like a badge of honor type thing.
Yeah, rite of passage.
Yeah, like a rite of passage. That's kind of what I was thinking. And then as your trainer, they get like super excited too because they helped you get there. So they like... autograph, like a Sharpie, an autograph next to it. I remember coming back to the mansion and showing you guys my like bleeding back of my leg and their signatures and stuff. It's all bruised around there. But then eventually, and it's not really a, I mean, I assume it is a form of a callus, but like eventually the back of your knees just sort of toughen up and it doesn't hurt anymore.
Oh, cool.
But it takes a while to get there. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but when you're doing bungee trapeze, that harness you have to wear that goes around your, it goes in, like you wear it like a little kid in a swing, like it goes in between your legs and stuff. That also hurts like around your groin area, like the your little hip bones in there. It like wears on that too. So it's like, there's a lot of like painful things to get through until like you are actually like just enjoying it.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm the opposite of you. So the pain didn't bother me so much, but I am scared of heights.
Ooh.
I am terrified of heights. That's why I love trapeze, because I like doing things that push myself to get over that fear because it feels so liberating when you like do something like that. And even when you're doing it like on a daily basis and stuff, and then you get done and you're like, oh, I just did that. Like I was way up there and I did that. But like I've gone skydiving. I used to go rappelling fairly regularly, not all the time, but like I've done it multiple times. My dad, when we would stay with my dad in Yosemite, he took us on like a rock climbing class for kids and stuff. So I'm not no professional rock climber or anything like that, but you know what I mean? Like just things like that kind of push it. And I love stuff like that. So it's one of the reasons that I love trapeze. Like when I get done, I just feel so exhilarated.
Yeah. Adrenaline junkie.
Really? Yeah, definitely.
So was this your first time trying trapeze or had you done it before?
First time ever.
Wow.
Ever.
That's cool.
And I was so nervous.
It's cool to catch something on camera that's the start of like a passion for you. Cause I know you kept doing this like, there was a point in time where you had like a trapeze thing hanging from your house.
Yes. Yeah. I had two things installed in my house after I moved out of the mansion. I had an actual trapeze swing and then I had a hoop, but it was on a motor so I could bring the hoop down. It's also called the Lyra, but I would bring the hoop down and I could have switched it out with like the silks too or like any kind of piece on there.
I know I've raved to you guys before about using the iRestore hair laser. Because we all want, you know, fuller, healthier hair. And if you've been battling thinning or breakage or just want to give your hair a serious upgrade, I've got something else for you. The iRestore Revive and Max Growth Kit. It's like a full-on hair care dream team. So I got the Advanced Hair Growth Formula Thickening Shampoo, Thickening Conditioner, and Growth Activator Serum. So what's in the secret sauce? It's ingredients like Lastreva, Redenzyl, Biotin, Capixel, clinically backed to fight thinning and boost scalp health. That is complete root to tip system, but you can even start from the inside out with the new Revive Biotin Vitamin Gummies. Give yourself the gift of hair confidence this year. For a limited time only, subscribe and save for 25% off or more, plus free shipping on the iRestore Revive plus Max Growth Kit. And our listeners are getting a huge discount on the iRestore Elite when you use code NEXTLEVEL at iRestore.com. Head over to iRestore.com and use code NEXTLEVEL for our show's exclusive discounts. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Hair loss is frustrating. You don't have to fight it alone. Thanks to iRestore.
Okay, so I get there and I'm already nervous because it's a little bit high. And even in commentary, I'm like, it was higher than I thought it was going to be. So I think the average height is right around 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a three-story building, right?
That's when I would come down on the silks when I was in Peep Show, it was 30 feet up.
That's a standard for like aerial stuff. Mm-hmm. So I tell Anna Marie that I'm nervous and she says you shouldn't be. You should just have fun. After having done it for a long time now, like I feel that way too. Like I would tell somebody that for their first time. Mm-hmm. Oh God, don't be scared. Like just have fun with this. It's going to be so much fun because it is. But I still remember how nervous I was.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't help back then. Anyway, I do it. I'm up there. And when I was doing this, I was thinking, oh my God, that's so interesting because it's very much like skydiving too. Like when I went skydiving, it was tandem. So you're attached to the actual professional behind you. And then when you get to, it's your turn to jump, they, at least when I did it, maybe everybody's experience is different, but the guy who's the professional behind you puts his hands on the outer sides of the plane door and he goes, one, and you're like hanging out, you know, you're already on the edge. And then he comes back in and goes, two. And then what's actually scary too is the person that's filming it for you is like hanging onto the side of the plane and they're like flopping in the wind like this, like with their camera on you. So they're already like out of the plane, like hanging on.
Oh, no.
And you're like dangling out of the plane. And then they're like, three, and then everybody jumps together and it's like so, it's
oh my God,
that kind of feeling. Anyway, I do the swing and I love it and I don't know what it was about it, but I just feel like even watching it back, I feel like my form was almost perfect. And I immediately, they're like, do you want to do the catch? And I'm like, I want to do the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't do the catch right away, so I've heard. And I did the catch and made it, and I just felt like the whole thing clicked.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun and I loved it. And I didn't even want to stop, even though my hands were killing me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the back of my legs and everything. But I loved it. And from then on, it became like this passion. And for a while, I was doing it every single day.
Oh, fun.
Like going down to, not at the same place.
Yeah.
Because I started training later, because I was actually training for a TV show at one point to do this. But later I was doing it in Inglewood with like Ray Pierce.
Yeah, I remember for a while it was your workout.
Mm-hmm. Because it's an amazing workout.
Yeah. What was that TV show? Wasn't it like Celebrities with Talent?
Oh my God.
Something?
Do we want to talk about this?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't happen yet in our timeline. So I was going to wait to tell you guys, but I'll bring it back up again when it actually happens. There was a show that was going to be, that was on CBS and it had never been on before. It was called Secret Talents of the Stars. And they were going to have like different celebrities come on with like talents that you wouldn't expect of them. So like George Takei, he was singing.
Oh.
And I forget what everybody else was doing. So they did like a couple of celebrities each week, I think. Mine wasn't until like, I wasn't on the first episode. That's what I'm trying to say. Like I was later on down the line. I don't remember if I was second episode or fourth episode or whatever when mine was supposed to come. But it was so bad. Like the first week, I guess.
Oh, just like the ratings?
The talent.
What was it? Are you comfortable saying who?
Well, I can
bleep it if you feel bad.
I just know who I was told. Like
sometimes that surprises me though, because sometimes when people are really bad, it like goes viral.
Well, that was before viral was a thing, I feel like.
I don't know, because I feel like back then every once in a while there would be an American Idol that like really was crazy bad and it would like go viral.
Maybe.
But maybe it just didn't hit.
Yeah. And I don't know what their ratings were. So maybe it was the ratings too. Mm-hmm. They were kind of like suggesting that these celebrity talents weren't very talented kind of thing. And so they canceled the whole show. And I was so bummed because I was rehearsing my butt off. And like I said, I was rehearsing with the Cirque du Soleil people. I wasn't even training anymore with Ray. They moved me into like this warehouse and we had like our own setup. It was amazing.
Did you at least get paid?
That was what I was going to say. Uh-huh. There was a pay or play thing in the contract and I got paid.
Oh, good.
I got paid for doing it without ever having to do it.
Nice.
But it was an amazing experience. Like I'd already had like a full on costume design. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to keep the costume?
Yes, I got to keep the costume and I wore it for my 4th of July trapeze that I did the following year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
And my thing was going to be so cute. Uh-huh. Like, I felt like I was going to win this thing.
Was it the routine you did on 4th of July?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, what song was that? It's Christina Aguilera. The
Candyman?
I think it is Candyman, yeah.
The retro one?
Yeah, it was Christina Aguilera, Candyman. And I felt like the outfit was so cute and the song was so cute. And it was so, like, patriotic, but pinup and sexy. And I felt like it just had all the elements. I was so sad.
Aw.
I wanted to do it.
Well, at least it got recorded for our show. It's not like it got lost in the bubble.
And then next up is Stacey, right? Yeah.
And she was so cute. And when she does it, she says this is because of adrenaline. Her legs were shaking in this really weird way. And she reminds me of Luigi in Super Mario 2 because she's wearing green. And did you ever play Super Mario 2, Luigi?
No.
Well, when you play Luigi, when he jumps, his legs like flail around. It's really weird. Like it always used to make me laugh.
I used to be obsessed with like the original Mario Brothers, like, but I didn't play it too.
Do you have vaginal odor or a pH imbalance? Is it impacting your sex life or making you feel uncomfortable or self-conscious? Then Neuro is for you. It's a probiotic blend specifically formulated to support vaginal health, balance healthy vaginal pH, support healthy vaginal smell, and maintain healthy vaginal flora. There are many factors that can cause these issues, from sex to tight clothing, sweat from working out, hormones, periods, etc. All of these things can disrupt vaginal health and lead to an imbalance in the vaginal flora and pH, causing unhealthy vaginal odor or taste, abnormal discharge, and discomfort. Uro improves the pH and smell, giving you greater comfort and more confidence. And don't just take their word for it. Listen to the amazing reviews their customers have to say. I've been insecure about the taste and smell down there, but this probiotic really helps balance out my system so I can go out feeling confident and sexy. This product is a life changer. Talk about build up your sex life confidence. My husband loves them and notice a difference during intimacy. Every woman needs this. Take proactive care of your health and head to opositive.com/next level or enter next level at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. That's opositive.com/next level for 25% off.
Oh, one other thing I just want to tell people about trapeze too. You think that when you like, oh, no big deal, there's a net, you know, that net is hard as a rock. And when you fall, you do not want to have to fall on it. Ugh. Like, it'll save your life. Like, don't get me wrong. But like, you, when you're walking on it, it's so painful on your feet. Like, you just want to like get off of that thing. It's not like a fun, comfy, like hammocky type, like you might think. Because I always thought when I see people like land on it or whatever, I'm like, oh, that looks like fun. I want to just jump on the net. No, you want to get off that net. Stacey was not joking with that. She was super, super scared. Mm-hmm. But at least she did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, that's brave. Like, I know
she had fun.
She did, okay, yeah. Cool. And then they cut to Kendra doing it. And Kendra tries to run off before even doing it. And I'm like, no way.
At least she showed up. Like, I'm surprised she showed up for this. Like, she's showing up for stuff again,
I feel. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there is one thing that I thought was interesting about her doing this. Well, there's a couple of things. One is that, so she's describing it afterwards. She said, I did a few swings and like, that was it. And she says, we aren't fucking monkeys. I'm not a monkey. We weren't made to fly around and swing and shit. And we're all on the ground, like laughing about how scared she was and how, you know, bad it was. And then she drops to the net and stuff. And then she says, trapeze isn't a sport. It's a circus act. So fuck the circus. And then they put a clown graphic on her, which I think is cute. you can argue whether it's a sport or not, but it's definitely very athletic. Mm-hmm. And these people that do aerial stuff are definitely athletes.
100%. So the next scene, we are down in the dining room. I'm working on Lindsay Wagner's layout, and all three of us are down there. And that's another thing I've noticed, too, is we're getting a little better about the three of us being in scenes together. I know I said that like last episode or a couple episodes ago. And so we're all down in the dining room and Hank comes in and he wants to talk to us about the design of the Midsummer Night's Dream Party because we wanted to switch up the decor and the theme a little bit because we'd been there for like, what, 6 years at this point. And we thought it would like spice up the parties. And I know even you had really cool ideas for Halloween. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we did like a Dracula's ball 1 year or something? Just like little switches in the decor to give it like a new feel. Mm-hmm. And you'll see later in this episode, I think it was really effective. Like, I think it made a huge difference to like switch up the Midsummer Night's Dream theme. Because before it had always been like very like Roman, like Greco-Roman type things, you know, to reference the original play, but we wanted to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, but can I tell you too, the scene kind of bugs me because originally the idea of switching it up was my idea. And I told Kendra and Kendra was all excited about it. And then we were talking to you about it. And then we brought Mary in on it. And then we convinced Hef and stuff. And so it's one of those things where like when you have a great idea and you feel and you like don't want to sit there and hammer it home. It's my idea. It's my idea. It's my idea. But then like
go ahead and hammer it home. I hammer it home when it's my idea. Don't think I don't.
It's not even that I want to do that. Yeah. But what I wanted to say about this scene is like I feel like so Hank comes with the ideas to you and Kendra. And I'm like, not even.
Wait, are you not in the scene?
No.
Wait, what?
No. And I'm just like, wait.
Okay, I fully watched this. And I'm sitting here going, oh, we're all three in the scene. Da, 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 da. I fully, just because I remember you being involved in this process so much, like even as I'm watching it and making notes, I feel like you're just like cropped out or something. Like I fully watched this thinking you were in the scene.
No. And I'm just, and it's one of those things where like people probably think it's crazy when we like are going, that was my idea, yeah. That's my idea and stuff. But like, if you don't, like,
this nobody is the, will ever know.
Yeah. This is the type of stuff that happens. Like all of a sudden it's just, you know, Hank's idea that we're going to change it. Or like, these are his ideas for the
thing. Yeah. Cause it does kind of look when Hank walks in, like it was just something he came up with. And for some reason he's getting our approval, even though we would, that's not ours to approve.
I say it in the episode that I came up with this idea. And honestly, I don't even want to hammer it home that it was my idea because I do think we were all involved in it and everything.
I don't care. Just, hammer it home. But I will hammer the fuck out of my own ideas. Like, I don't care.
But I mean, just at the very beginning, the initial idea. And I did want to be more involved in the party planning and stuff because I know it's something I love and mm-hmm. I know I'm good at it. And I know that I have different ideas than like Hank and stuff. Not that he doesn't do a great job. But even this party, like, I think it turned out fabulous, but I look at it and I'm like, oh, I would have done this, though, and I would have done that. Like, there's so many things I would have done differently or added to what was there, including just, like, the color scheme and stuff. Like, I feel like that was a little bit off.
And what we wanted to do was do kind of, like, the different theme every year, just so every year it's like the same Midsummer Night's Dream Party, but there's something new and exciting about it. So it freshens it up and makes it novel again. But it's like we did this one switch and it was such a hit, but it was a hit. I mean, it was a good theme in and of itself, but it was a hit because it was different and added new life to the party. But then Hef just never changed it again.
Right. I went back to the... I went back to in like 2012, I think, and I had another outfit similar to this one made. It was like red and gold, though. And Nick came with me and it was Arabian Nights themed, same stuff, like that many years later.
Wow.
So it's like, wait, this wasn't the plan.
Yeah, like, it almost like defeated the purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it looks really cool and it's a fun party, but like was like, oh, I just felt disappointment because he's getting, not that you guys shouldn't weigh in on the party too, but I'm just like, wait, why isn't he asking me? Like what?
Right.
You know, or all of us, like what? So those kind of things just sort of bother me.
Yeah, that's really weird. So Hank is asking questions about the cabana specifically because I had some very specific concerns because obviously like I'm the one dealing with Hef all night. And one thing we added a few years previous to the Midsummer Night's Dream was a little like almost back support type chair that's on the floor because how Midsummer Night's Dream was originally. So it's these low tables with pillows and you sit around the pillows, but then Hef's back would always start to hurt because he had no back support. So we had them devise this little like seating thing that's on the ground, but has back support. So when Hank was talking about doing a whole cabana, I was like, well, Hef definitely needs back support or his back's going to hurt and he's going to want to go up like an hour after the party starts. And we need something behind us because people would always come up to the table behind us at that party and just like, for some reason, because we're down on the ground, put their hands in our hairdos that we just spent an hour doing, giving us noogies. Hey, what's up? I'm like, we need something behind us because this is like, I mean, not just for us because it's annoying, but imagine for Hef.
Right. Well, I just remember people were coming from behind. And even though we have security there, they can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And people would come up from behind. So he was always like this and like this and like that. And like looking up and just, it was like, and it's constant all night long. So it's a lot.
It was nonsensical.
So if you have something that's behind you, then people can only come up from the front. And that just
like
makes
a normal person
so much easier. But we're all the way at the front of the party, right next to the dance floor. So everybody's coming from behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Later, they change it. So the tents are on the other side of the dance floor, like by the stream.
Okay.
And the dance floor is like moved up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are facing
the house. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to Hank, even if Hef doesn't want you to do it, you have to do it anyway because I don't want to hear him bitching and moaning about it. And he cackles. And it reminds me of the scene with Brian where I'm like, just tell Hef this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because when you're like getting to the point, because at this point, we kind of felt like an old married couple, like we'd been together long enough. And it's that thing, like, no, it just needs to be done because otherwise you're going to bitch and moan about it.
Right. I say too that later when I went back for a party, they actually put chicken wire.
I was going to ask you about that because you say that in commentary. And I'm like, did they really put fucking chicken wire
around it except for the front? So if you wanted to come in to see Hef, you couldn't like come in through the tent anyway.
Chicken wire?
I think so.
That is so ugly and gross.
Well, at night like that with the lighting, I don't think you could tell unless you're really up close.
It's chicken wire. Ew. I don't like it.
Everybody knows that we need to protect our skin from the sun, but what if you could protect it from things like collagen loss and inflammation and even repair some of the damage you did when you were younger? The good news is that you can. And it's something I learned from my scientist friends at OneSkin. You guys already know that I've been enjoying my summer sitting out by the pool or on the beach in Florida, and I have my Colorado vacation coming up. We're going to be hiking and camping, and I've been using OneSkin's whole line of mineral SPS for the face, body, and lips. Not only do they protect my skin from UV damage now, they work at the cellular level to help repair the sun damage I did in my teens and 20s. My skin feels smoother, looks more even, and I've even noticed some of those age spots and wrinkles begin to fade. The face SPF is super lightweight, breathable, and comes in tinted or untinted, which I love. I love the tinted. The body SPF is water resistant and helps prevent collagen loss. And the new lip SPF hydrates instantly and is scientifically proven to keep your lips healthy, bouncy, and firm. And I feel like that's one of the places that people forget to protect when they're out in the sun. It's one of my number one spots, but I've always, always wear SPF lip balm. The whole line is made with mineral non-nano zinc oxide, antioxidants like vitamin C and the OS1 peptide, so you get protection, nourishment, and repair in one simple step. It's advanced sun care that performs like skincare.
Try them all with 15% off your first purchase using code NEXTLEVEL at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code NEXTLEVEL at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code NEXTLEVEL. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
The front was still open so people could come in. But then even at one point, they were on like another level too. Like there was stairs and like a little platform and the tents were up there. So, and then there was security down at the bottom of the little, it's like, you know, four stairs, not like a ton of stairs, but like they really were starting to step it up and like limiting Hef having to talk to anybody or take pictures with anybody.
I can see that, but chicken wire, I can't wrap my head around it. So Kendra's funny at the end of the scene because she can't get out of there fast enough. And she goes, okay, sounds good. Bye.
Yeah, peace out. I'm out. Done. Because she doesn't care about it. That's the other thing. She does not care about this stuff. Like,
yeah,
she thought
true.
It was a cool idea and everything, but she does not give two shits about like what color or what the tent looks like or anything at all. So that's another reason why it's like so upsetting to make it look like she's involved in not her personally. This is not personal against her, but like that other people are involved in the design of it when they don't even care.
Yeah. You know? Just like spreading the idea around.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to this weird alarm. And I'm like, for the second time in this episode, wait, what are we looking at? But it's your radio show. It's one of those on-air like lights.
Yeah.
But for a second, I was like, what are we looking at?
Yes. And I do my whole introduction. And it's so cute because on this day, Wednesday was with my parents because we had just gotten back from Jamaica. And I have Gizmo filling in.
Oh my God, that's cute.
Gizmo's walking around the studio.
Aww.
And I just want to tell you guys too, just a side story. Gizmo was so good in the car. And like, if I took her places and stuff, like I think about that now and I feel like I couldn't take my cats like all the way to my parents' house right now without like
freaking
screaming
out. Yeah.
And like, and then they would just be terrified at my parents' house. Gizmo was so chill.
Mm-hmm.
She would curl up on my lap when I would drive like 5.5 to 6 hours home and just be asleep on my lap. She would just get out at my parents' house and just like walk around and be like totally fine with it. Like I could take her anywhere.
Aw.
That's like unusual for a cat.
It really is. So Kendra and Patty are your guests. And my note was it easy to get them to agree to that? Like, was this something the show wanted them to do? Did they volunteer to come on your show? Did you ask them?
Well, I was always bringing in guests and it was always people like, you know, that were in our lives or whatever. So Crystal had done the show. Stacey had done the show. You'd done the show. I'd had Brian Lay on the show. Mm-hmm. I'd had my dad. Like, I did all kinds of people. So I think it was only natural to have Kendra and Patty on. And I may have had them on anyway, but this was definitely part of the show. They really wanted me to do like a, have callers come in, like call in for Patty to like try and date Patty or whatever. And I thought that was fun to do like a game show type thing.
Yeah, it was cute. So you are Ed Hardy'd out, as we often are in this era of the show.
And I feel like that just gets worse and worse as things go on.
It does, because there was a specific time period, probably 2006, where we started getting gifted all the Ed Hardy stuff. So for like the second half of the show, it's like Ed Hardy, Ed Hardy, Ed Hardy everywhere.
I remember one of the first times I went and met Nick was something. I was head to toe Ed Hardy'd out, and he was like making fun of me. And I make fun of myself now because it's so not my style. It's so not my look. But I just thought it was so cool at the time.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Affliction at that time.
Well, I think that's probably what it was, the Affliction stuff.
So funny.
I get all that's all mixed up to me. Like, that's all the same stuff.
So the plot line for them being on your radio show is you're setting up date options for Patty. You're looking for people to call in. And I love that Patty says she's looking for a guy who loves football.
Yes, of course. And I think it's a cute idea, especially for the radio show. That radio show was all over the U.S.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was even international. And so people could be calling in from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And I love that the first caller is all the way Ray.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that? I have to think the show set that up, right?
Yeah, because they're doing this running gag, if you know, ever since day one about Patty and Ray.
Yeah.
You know?
And how Kendra's like, oh,
Kendra
she's anti-Ray.
Yeah.
It's a really good gag. I just don't picture Ray being up that early in the morning.
You know what? I brought my rundown from the show, and it's not that early by the time we him on. I have his set to call in at 10:40.
Okay, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
And so a couple guys call in, and then a guy calls in and suggests a threesome with your daughter. And I'm like, what?
We all were like, what?
Which is like kind of funny for the show, but also gross. And I'm kind of surprised they left it in.
I'm not.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not at all. But do you guys want to hear how like my rundown was at the mansion? So I would always start, it's kind of silly. I would always start out with like introing myself in Wednesday, and they play like my theme song was Sugar Sugar by the Archies. And then I would just like kind of do a quick like, hey, we're here and everything. And then I would do a call to the mansion butlers and order breakfast, because the premise was It's supposed to be like I'm at home, I'm okay. at the mansion, sitting in my room,
yeah.
and this is just like normal what is going on at the mansion right now. So I pretend to order my breakfast and Wednesday's breakfast, and if I had a guest in, I'd get whatever they're ordering.
Yeah.
So for like in this case, I had they wanted apples and peanut butter and toast. And then I would do there would be like a queue for Girls Next Door or Playboy Mansion gossip. Mm-hmm. And I would talk about like what we did that whole week. Like mm-hmm. Friday we did this and Saturday we did this and on and on. And then
did you ever spill any tea?
Probably. I would just talk about like what everything yeah. that was happening. And then I had a segment called The Coolest Person I Met This Week, because we met so many people and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would talk about who that person was. And then I would go over the menus and the movies for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night buffets.
I would have had a worst person I met that week and kept it like anonymous, but dropped clues and you have to guess, like that's a blind fun. Item.
Yeah. And then I did a segment where I spoke to somebody who was deployed, like one of a mm-hmm. troop member. And then I would start doing a wrap up for the show. So many people have asked me like where they can find it and stuff. And people say it's not out there. Like they can't find it.
Yeah.
Like archives of it or anything.
Yeah. Cause it was in so many ways, just like a traditional radio show.
Yeah. It was live. And that's the tricky part about it. Live radio is, you know, mm-hmm. kind of scary because it literally minute by minute, second by second, you have to be on top of it.
So the next scene, we are downtown shopping for jewelry for Midsummer Night's Dream. This is proof we were bargain shoppers. This is very real. We would always go downtown for fabrics and stuff. And it also shows us at Bohemian Crystal buying Swarovski crystals, which that was a big part of our lives too.
Huge. Yeah. And there is a big swath of commentary in here that really takes us out of the scene again. So we're talking about, and this, we've touched on it a little bit, but we really go into more detail here. In commentary, you ask if we ever freak out and think we forgot to lock the door since we've left the mansion because we didn't have to
lock it
then. And I say, I do that with my car mostly because I'm still living. I feel like when we're doing commentary, you forget that Kenner and I are still practically at the mansion.
Well, I don't think I knew, because even now when we talk about it, you have to keep reminding me, well, Kenner and I were still there. And I don't think I knew. Like, I think I knew you were kind of still packing up. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, you were off doing your show or off with Nick looking for houses or doing something else. And Kendra was already off with Hank in my mind.
Yeah. And then Kendra says, I don't have a car right now. I don't remember why she doesn't have a car.
Well, remember her Escalade got stolen toward the end of the series? But I can't imagine she was carless for that long.
I remember her Escalade getting stolen, but I thought it was earlier than this late. But maybe not. Maybe it was around this time. Kendra says, I get scared not locking my door at the mansion now. And she said, I just talked about that on Chelsea Handler. And I
people
said,
people are barging in.
And I said, oh my God, me too.
Maybe we need to look up that interview of Chelsea Handler.
Yeah. I said, I lock my door now every time I leave. And Kendra says, yeah, sometimes I forget and I make security go up there and lock it. And I say, I have to ask them to do that too. But this is how crazy the house was getting. Like, we didn't even feel safe leaving for 2 seconds without our door locked, thinking somebody would come into our room or steal stuff, or there were so many randoms like walking around.
Well, that was my world for the first 4 years I lived at the mansion, because my part of the bedroom was not private. And I had asked Hef if I could put locks on some of the cabinets just to at least keep like my valuables and my scrapbooks and things that were private safe. Because theoretically, anybody could go in and out there. And when you're thinking about like, oh, there's 5 girls in this house that hate my guts and want to sabotage me. Like, that's not a good feeling.
It's not. And then you say, oh, there's some weirdos in the house and not necessarily the people living there. I think you met like all the random girls coming up maybe.
Oh, yeah. Because he had started like indulging in the bedroom like crazy.
And you say, and when I stop by, I'll see someone and I'll be like, that person is dangerous. But you can't tell Hef that because he won't listen. And Kendra says, yeah, I know.
That gives me chills, because I feel like over the years of us just interacting with people, like we had the instinct down. Like we knew when somebody was like nice and when somebody came there with like a cutthroat agenda and they want to fuck anybody up.
Yeah. And then I say, there are all kinds of people running around. And you're like, And you're just like walking around going, who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and they're upstairs now. And that never used to be allowed. So things were getting weird.
Yeah.
And so when people are like, well, why did you leave and stuff? Like, what happened? It's all of this stuff that I've been talking about and that I talked about in the last commentary thing on the Patreon. All these things are like adding up and it just doesn't feel good there. The vibe is just bad and it's just not good.
Wow. So I'm wearing it back in the scene. I'm wearing a tank top that says, if you don't swing, don't ring. It was a Playboy tank top. And I say I wanted to dress up as every Disney princess. And of course, with this Arabian Nights theme, it's my chance to do Jasmine. And it shows a montage of my different Disney princess outfits like Snow White, Cinderella, Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell's not a princess, but whatever.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Yeah. And people have asked me since then, have you dressed up as every Disney princess? And I think most of the ones that I would dress up as, like there's some that would probably be problematic if I dressed up as. So I don't do those ones. But I haven't done Ariel either just because I'd want to do like a real tale and just sit in a damn pool all day. But when am I going to do that?
Yeah.
But most of them. So then we hear hip hop music. So we know Kendra's coming in and they show the exterior of trashy lingerie. And Kendra, her mom and her brother Colin are walking in. And there's a little bit of tension between Patty and Kendra, between how sexy Patty is going to be. And I wonder, they have this kind of back and forth that's cute that they've done before when Patty's come to a party, which is like Kendra's protective / embarrassed that her mom might show up in something skimpy. Which is normal. But I'm watching this and I wonder if Kendra's idea on what a 40-something-year-old woman should wear has changed now that she's closer, not the same age as her mom was then, but closer to the age.
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
We'll never know.
I know. In commentary, we say an interesting thing too. And this is like, I've thought about this so many times. You talk about how you had a Glenda the Good Witch costume made at Trashy that you never went and picked up, at least by this, at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe you did eventually. And I say that I had the Wicked Witch of the West, or is it East or West?
West.
Yeah. Okay. I had the Wicked Witch of the West costume made and it was cool. It was so cool.
Did you ever wear it?
I never picked it up either. And I say, I didn't pick up my, I think we were going to do it together at a Halloween party.
We were.
And we never picked them up.
I wonder what happened to them.
I know. I wonder too. I've thought about this a lot. So I didn't have mine fully paid for. I had put down the deposit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was like totally paid for and I just never picked it up.
But that's weird that we never got reminded because it's not like we didn't keep going back there.
Yeah. Well, I was gone quite a bit after that for the show, like didn't come back for a couple months. But yeah, just
weird. So the next scene, Hef walks out to preview the Midsummer Night's Dream decor. And there is yet another scary ass mural of Hef. Because typically the mural for Midsummer Night's Dream was Hef dressed as Pan with a little flute. And it's just like the most unflattering caricature. And I'm like, why does he like this? Why does he think it's okay? And this one's even uglier and scarier.
I'm so confused about this whole thing. Like, who is doing these?
I have no idea.
And who's requesting them?
I have no idea.
And then why do we have to have it?
And why does Hef like it? Like, I get he wants an image of himself, but it's not cute.
And I was wondering, like, I kind of get it for the Midsummer party. Like, I feel like that sort of makes sense and is in the vibe of it, but not for this one. And then why did the person who made it put two brunettes next to him? And why not three blondes? Why not at least, like, we're all pretty solidified in this relationship right now, at least for the show. And, like, why wouldn't you put three blondes in it? It doesn't even have to look exactly like us, but just that so that it mimics real life.
The whole thing is strange. And the only thing that looks good in that photo is the tits.
The whole thing is confusing to me. And I don't even know why it's there.
Yeah. So I write in my notes as Hank and Hef are looking at this. I'm thinking, why does Hef like this? It doesn't look good of him. And I wrote, he's probably distracted by the tits in the picture. And then Hank explains how he's going to light it. He's going to light it so Hef is illuminated and you can't see the girls as much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he explains it. And Hef, without a hint of irony, goes, yeah, that's why I like it. I like it. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of eerie. Because the way Hank explains it, I forget his wording. Maybe you have it written down, but it's something like, oh, we're going to like like you it. And diminish the girls.
Yes. Hank is describing the art and telling Heth how lighting plays a big role in it. And he said, I highlighted you and diminished them, meaning the women in the art. And I just wrote in my notes, this is such an interesting thing to say.
Yeah. It's so interesting that he specifically says diminished the women. And Heth is like, I like it. And I'm like, yes. The truth comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is when he's kind of showing like some of the decor for the party and everything. And Heth seems like not quite convinced and like wondering if there's enough greenery, because it really does look like all the greenery isn't added yet.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't look like there's enough drapery and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I didn't love like all the colors. I don't know. I just would have done things differently. I still think in the end, it turns out incredible.
Yeah, I like how it looks in the end. My note for this scene is it's hard for the viewer to see much during this walkthrough because it's so dark.
It is, yeah.
So we're about halfway through this ep. Do we want to wrap it up?
Yes, before we get ready for the party.
Yeah. So check out our Patreon if you'd like more content at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.